they good? I was listening to the morning service on Radio 4 this morning, and it was coming from a Pentecostal church in Cardiff. And I tell you, our band was 10 times better than them. Well done, band. And they were on the radio. Thank you, guys. I can remember as a kid, I always looked forward when I went home to going through the back door. I used to use the back door, not the front door. You'd come to the back door, and as you got to the overhang from the porch, you could sense what was going on inside, because you only had to go and you could smell that dinner cooking. Mum was a good cook. And as we come to the sermon time this morning, take a deep breath. Anticipate what God's going to feed you with. As Sam, our pastor, Sam Jayakrishna, comes and brings us the Word of God this morning. Sam.
Thank you. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Hallelujah. Isn't it good to have testimony?
Yeah.
You know, of the goodness of God.
Yeah.
And it's great when the whole church comes together and when we pray together. That's awesome power when everybody comes together. And that actually shows that we care for one another, that we love one another, that everybody matters in the house of God. Everybody is a member of the body of Jesus Christ. And when one member is not in a good place, then what we do is we get together, we come together and we pray that God will really bless that person. So we just thank God for the testimonies that keep coming, that where God is really blessing His house, blessing His people. And God is our protector as much as He is our provider. Amen?
Amen.
And we can count on Him. Praise His holy name. You know, Billy Graham, how many know Billy Graham? He's one of the greatest evangelists. And in his early years of preaching and his ministry, he leads many crusades, as you know, and he was doing one in the States, and he wanted to mail a letter, post a letter, and so he asked a little boy on the street, you know, can you show me where the post office is? And the boy, of course, knew where the post office was, and so he gave him the directions and said, yeah, go this way, and then you'll find it. And then Billy Graham said, if you come to the Central Baptist Church tonight, I'll tell you how to go to heaven. And the boy replied, no thanks. You don't even know how to get to the post office. That's directly from him, actually. Oh, it's good. It's good. Praise the name of Jesus. Right. So we have been talking about having an encounter with Jesus, and the way that an encounter changes our lives. And I always believe that when we have had a genuine encounter with Jesus, there is a genuine change in our lives. I think there's nobody who can have an encounter with Jesus that can walk in the same old way or the same old lifestyle. If you're walking in the same old lifestyle, that tells me that there hasn't been a genuine encounter with Jesus, that this person hasn't really tasted Jesus. Because the moment you taste Jesus, everything changes. How many know that?
Yeah.
We who are bought by the blood of Jesus, we know that. It's a genuine experience. Today I want to talk to you about the fact that you belong to God. And you might say, well, I know that. I know that I belong to God. But you know, sometimes, often we see people, although we know, we sometimes don't behave in the way that we belong to Jesus. Yeah? Yeah. Often, me included, we behave in a manner that we forget that we belong to Jesus. And so today I just want to draw your attention to the fact that knowing this, just knowing that we belong to Jesus, should put us in a place of expectancy to know that God is always with us. That is just not something we read, it's just not something we feel, but we belong. Yeah. And there's something in the sense of belonging. It's different to feeling. It's different to knowing. How many know that? You know that you belong to a family, to their family. There's something about belonging, isn't there? It's different to a visitor coming into your home. When you are part of the family, you belong to the family, there is a responsibility and something that comes out of it, doesn't there? Isn't there? You have the freedom, the privilege, the choices, you know, everything, the authority in that belonging, in that family, to do whatever that is necessary. That's the difference of knowing that you belong to somebody. You belong to somebody, to some place, to a home. You belong to a church as well. When you belong to the church, what happens? You become part of it. Your heart engages with it. You want to do something when you belong. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Because I believe that God's kingdom dwells in us. How many believe that? The kingdom of God is in us. Tell your neighbor, the kingdom of God is in you. It's not in the sky above. It's in you. God's kingdom, His presence, lives in us. Tell your neighbor that too. Because sometimes we need reminding ourselves that the presence of God lives in us. You know, when I was thinking about that, I just said, wow, the presence of God, who is awesome, mighty, who created the universe and put everything in its place. You know, I was just thinking, how can anyone believe in the Big Bang? Stop and think for a moment. If you dropped a bomb in this place, you wouldn't be here, that's for sure. However, what would happen? Be chaos, wouldn't it? And somehow for some people to believe that the Big Bang somehow created some order in the universe is kind of, I don't know, I can't compute it. I think a Big Bang will cause chaos. That's what it does. You and I know that the universe was created by God. And that's why there is order in the universe. That's why the planets, they orbit in a certain fashion. They don't collide with one another. If you think about space, I mean, there are no roads there, are there? You know, there's nothing that's kind of, you know, this part is here, so, you know, this won't join this part here. You know, it's just space. But somehow, I just want to think about this. Somehow, none of these planets collide. The stars, the galaxies, so many of them, still yet to be found. Who could do such an amazing work other than God Himself? And it just boggles my mind to think that people would just believe the Big Bang theory. That bang and everything came out. And so orderly. Oh dear. We belong to Jesus. Why? Why do we belong to Jesus? Because we have been bought with a price. And the price is the precious blood of Jesus. We can never negate the value of the blood of Jesus. Everything else can go, but if the blood of Jesus loses its value, then the redemption's value is lost. Because the only way that we can come to the Father is through Jesus, and that's because Jesus paid the price by giving His own blood, shedding His own blood on the cross of Calvary. The precious blood. When Jesus died, He paid a total price for a total redemption, not a partial redemption. When you and I are born again by the Spirit of God, it's a total born-again experience. It's not a partial thing. It's a total thing, a total redemption. He does not redeem a part of you. He redeems all of you. He buys back all of you. Therefore, you and I, we become a dwelling place for God's presence. I go, wow, awesome. I am a dwelling place for God's presence. Wow. Isn't that amazing? You know, that kind of should lift our spirits up. God, that your presence is in me. I am a carrier of the presence of God. Wow. And because we are a carrier of the presence of Jesus, we don't belong to ourselves, but we belong to God. How do I know that? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. I'll just get some water here. It says, you should know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit that you receive from God that lives in you. So your body is a temple for whom? The Holy Spirit that you received from God that lives in you. Tell your neighbor, he's in you. He's in you. You don't own yourselves. Wow. Ouch. You don't own yourselves. Why? Because somebody has bought you. When somebody buys you, you are not your own. You are that person's. You go to a shop and you buy something, the shop chap won't come running behind you and say, no, that's mine. You say, get lost. I paid for it. It's mine, correct? Let's put that here. Jesus has done the same thing. He tells the devil, get lost. You know, you can't take this person because I have paid with my blood. And he is mine or she is mine. So get lost, devil. Hallelujah. You cannot belong to the Lord and yourself. You got to either belong to the Lord or you belong to yourself. You can't do both. Because the moment you've been bought with a price, with the blood of Jesus, you're not your own anymore. But you are possession or the price of Jesus. Because he's done it for you and for me. Verse 20 of the same scripture tells us this. That we have been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, or because of the price that has been paid for you, it says glorify or honor or revere or give glory to God in your body. Now, we often talk about the mind. We often talk about our soulish realm, which is our mind, our feelings, and our emotions. But here it says glorify God in your body. Why? Because God has paid a very high price to make you his. He's paid a very high price. His life. That's the highest price that anyone can pay. So it says, honor God with your body. Honor God with your body. See, in today's society, we have rights, don't we? And if you tune into your radio, if you hear some people, they say, I have the right to my body. I can do whatever I like with this body. I can abuse it if I want to. I can put it under any amount of stress or strain. I can abort if I want to. I can live a lifestyle that I like to. I can succumb my body to sinful acts. I can tattoo it, I can distort it, do whatever you want with it. And so people get caught up, it is mine. I can do whatever I like. How many have heard that? I can do whatever I like. It's my body. God lives in you. You belong to Him. God owns your life. Why? Because He paid a price to own your life. And so our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it says, honor God with your body. As a believer, you and I, we host the presence of God in us. A life that has been transformed, that has been touched by Jesus, will have a body that has been purified and set apart for His purpose as His dwelling place. Let me say that again. A body that has been, a life that has been transformed by Jesus will have a body that has been purified and set apart for God as a dwelling place. You cannot subject your body to sin and profess to be a believer. You cannot subject your body to sin and profess to be a believer. The two don't walk hand in hand. They're incompatible. Here's the thing. When you and I, when we have had a genuine touch with Jesus, when the life of where Jesus has genuinely touched our lives, our mind, our emotions, and what we want to do will always align to God's mind, His thoughts, His emotions, His feelings, and to what God wants to do in our lives. Shall I say that again? When we have had a genuine encounter with Jesus, the living Christ, the Son of the living God, our mind, our emotions, and what we want to do will always be aligned to God's mind, to His emotions and His feelings, and to what God wants us to do in this life. A life touched by Jesus is a life that's committed and dedicated to living for Jesus. Not living for ourselves. Not living for all the vain stuff that we go through. It's living for Jesus. And you know, when you have an encounter with Jesus, Jesus becomes your priority. And it's because of the joy of knowing Him that you want to please Him and please the Father, please the Holy Spirit in everything you do. So it's not a sense of doing it because it's a ritualistic or traditional thing to do. It is a doing because of joy, because of love, because of gratitude, because you want to please this Jesus who has shed His blood, who has paid the price, that when the devil comes and tries to claim us, he says, get out, devil. You have no claim on this life because I purchased it already. When we have that in us, we will want to live a life that pleases Him. Amen? We'll want to live a life that pleases Him. Jesus died for the whole of you. In fact, He died for the whole of humanity. It's sad that so many people do not know it yet. He died for the whole of you. That is your spirit, your soul, and your body. The spirit should influence the soul. The spirit man should influence the soul, which is your thoughts, your feelings, and your will. and the soul should influence the actions that your body makes. Yeah, can you see that? The spirit, which is connected to the Spirit of God, must influence your soulish realm, which are your thoughts, the way you feel, and what you decide to do. And that, in turn, should affect your behavior. That's where the body comes in. So let me demonstrate that. I need three volunteers. Three. One, two, three. Good, okay. So I need one person standing here. You are the spirit. I need one person standing here. You are the soul. And I have one person here, the body. Okay. Yeah, she wants a spirit, isn't it? You know. So God's order is this, that the spirit that has been renewed and born again, the spirit dictates or influences the soul. The soul is your mind, your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts. The spirit man has to influence this, the soulish realm. Then the soul, with all its feelings and emotions, because we are all people who feel and we are emotive in many ways, must then influence what the body does. So for example, if this soul is angry, you know, then the feeling of anger will be demonstrated through the body, correct? Yeah. Because the soul doesn't think I'm angry. But when the soul, when you're feeling angry, something happens to the body, correct? It has an influence in the over the body. So it can go nasty, or it can go, right, okay, you know, I'm not going to react in this situation. Correct? Yes. That comes from where? From the soul. Okay? And so the body will react according to the feelings and the emotions of the soul. Now, it's important to feed this spirit. Yeah? Yeah? If this spirit ain't connected, I mean, not physically. Yeah. if this spirit is not connected to the Spirit of God, if this spirit is not talking to the Spirit of God, if there's no communion with the Spirit of God, his spirit will shrivel. You see? And what happens? The soul takes over. So the soul is now governing the body. So the spirit is not speaking to this anymore. So the soul now has no input from the spirit, so it can do whatever it likes to influence the body. Can you see that? Yeah. So many times we operate in this soulish realm because we are not so tapped into the Spirit of God that we operate in the soulish realm, and then the outcome of that can be quite nasty and can be vicious, can be rebellious, can be, you know, play into things that you usually wouldn't do. And so it's so important to follow this order, because this is the godly order. This is how God wants it to be. The spirit man speaking to the soul man, and the soul man speaking to the body man. And when it's in that order, you can expect the body to function in the ways that God wants it to function. Can you see that? Is that okay? Is that good?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. If you allow your feelings and your thoughts to get the better of you, then your body will not act in a disciplined way. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 says this: bring your thought life in obedience to Jesus. Isn't the scripture amazing? It's all there. God already knows that if your thought life is not brought under the blood of Jesus, it's not obedient to Jesus, then your thought life will dictate whatever it wants to dictate to the body. So the way to change the body and the behavior is to come to the spirit of God, the spirit man, and make sure that your spirit man is alive and connected to the source who is God. Bring your thought life into obedience to Jesus. Bring it under the blood of Jesus. You know where the struggle is in many people? It's in your thoughts. Because everything starts with a thought. Good or evil always starts with a thought. A lustful action always starts where? It's a thought. That's why the Bible says to bring your thought life to the obedience of Jesus. Because God knows that we struggle with our thoughts. And if you don't bring it under the control of the Holy Spirit, you let your life, there's a saying, don't let your thoughts run riot. What does a riot do? It destroys, correct? Your thought life, if not brought under the discipline of the Holy Spirit of God, what will happen? It will run riot. And so that's why the Bible is very clear. So today, maybe we have been struggling with our thoughts. Sometimes it could be sinful thoughts. We may have been struggling. We may be struggling now. But you know something? Jesus can set you free. Jesus can set you free. How does that happen? When you tap into the source. When you connect to God the Father, the Spirit of God, God is able to change your thought life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, Paul is talking about not yielding your body or subjecting your body to deeds of unrighteousness. He says, don't offer the parts of your body to serve sin. It's very clear. It's very clear. So can a Christian work in a brothel? Can a Christian cause their body to sin in unrighteousness? No. Why? Because Paul says that do not offer. We have a choice, don't we? Always we have a choice. Do not offer the parts of your body to serve sin. In other words, do not let your eyes cast your eyes. Don't allow your eyes to focus on images that cause you to sin. And that's where pornography comes into play. Because the moment you set your eyes, what's happening? You're receiving information that's of the flesh. And people who feed on that, what happens? They get so entrenched in it that then their mind, their emotions speak to their body. Then their body will react to what they're observing and what they're taking in. Don't use your bodies, it says here, to do evil. But offer yourselves to God as people who have died and now live. So it says, don't use your parts of your body to sin, to serve sin. Don't use your bodies to do evil. It says, but offer yourselves to God as people who have died and now live. Offer the parts of your body to God to be used for doing good. See, God wants our bodies to be healthy. God wants us to be strong. God wants us to be effective. God wants us to be active. Why? Because we belong to Him. As much as our children, in a sense, belong to us, although we know that they are gifts that God has given, what do we want for our children? We want them to do well. We want them to be active. We want them to achieve the best they can. Correct? I don't think there's any parent who brings a child into the world and says, okay, you know, do whatever you like. No. There's always that wanting to get the best out of that child so the child will grow. And I think God looks at us in the same way. Because we belong to Him, He doesn't say, okay, you know, just grow as you like. He's interested in us. He wants to know our well-being. Are we actually, you know, looking after ourselves in such a way that God is pleased with us? You know, are we using our bodies in the right way? Are we offering ourselves to God daily and say, God, here am I. Take me as I am. Change my life. We are Christ's body here on the earth. We are His instruments that He chooses to use. We have got to keep our body in good condition, not in a broken, sinful state. When you and I, when we are alive to God, how do I know that? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. It talks about that. Once we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but now you have been made alive unto God. So when we are alive unto God, we are dead to sin. We are dead to our sinful nature. Because our sinful nature has been redeemed with the blood of Jesus. We should no longer want to pursue our old plans or desires or our self-centered goals. No longer should we pursue them. Why? Because we belong to the Master. We belong to Jesus. What should drive us? God's purpose. His plans should drive us. His goals should motivate us. We should want to know. We should want to live to please Jesus and to listen to what He says and to do what He has called us to do. The devil has no hold on you. Hallelujah. The devil has no hold on us. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has been paid for us. Hallelujah. Isn't that just liberating? That the devil has no hold. He cannot touch our bodies. He cannot touch us unless we allow him to do so. We can allow him while we have a will. We can choose to allow the devil to play with us. It's like playing with fire. What happens when you play with fire? You will get burned. You play with the devil, what will happen? You will get burned. You cannot play with the devil and have fun. Because his job is to do what? Is to steal, is to kill, and is to destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. Wow! I'd love some of that. No. But yet we so often allow the devil to have a say in how we live. We must always remember the mission of the enemy is just that, steal, kill, destroy. The blood of Jesus is so powerful in our lives that every time that we face a temptation, every time we face a struggle, because we face it, we are human. We are people with feelings and emotions. But every time we face a struggle, an emotional struggle, a situation in our lives, the blood of Jesus is always speaking on our behalf. It's always speaking on our behalf. And it's telling the enemy, this person, this soul is mine. You cannot touch this child because this child is mine. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:22. Amazing scripture. 2 Corinthians 1 and 22. You and I, we carry the seal of the Master, Jesus. By the Holy Spirit, He's our guarantor. He's our guarantor. Who is? The Holy Spirit. Because He's put His seal on us, in us. See, when you have been franked, you post a letter, they frank the letter, don't they? They do that. Why? Because then it's a property of Her Majesty's government and responsibility to make sure that that parcel or that package or that letter gets to its destination. You and I have been franked by the Holy Spirit. He's set His mark upon us. That you and I now carry the authority and the power of Jesus. That God is going to take us through our journey to the very end. He's not going to let us go. Why? Because He's put His seal on us. And the seal represents power. The enemy looks at the seal in our lives from the Holy Spirit and he says he takes a step back. Because he knows that our lives have been franked by Jesus. His mark is upon us. Can you see that? Am I getting that through correctly? Yeah. Because it's on us, the enemy stands away from us. He cannot interfere unless we willingly want him to interfere in our lives. He put his mark on us to show that we are his. You know, when you work for a company or when you work for an organization, scouts, for example, you know, what are the girls called? Girl guides, okay. What do? They put a badge on you, don't they? A policeman carries a badge. What does that tell you? There is some authority there. A badge tells you that you belong to this group. You carry a sense of authority when you wear a scout's badge. You and I, we carry the badge or the mark of the Holy Spirit of God. You and I, we carry the authority and the power of Jesus. Wow. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, you are carrying the authority and the power of Jesus. On Wednesday, we had a teaching from Pastor Bill Johnson from Bethel Church in the States. Powerful message. And that really challenged me. We are carriers of the power of God, yet we do not demonstrate that power. That challenged me. And you know what he said? He said you got to get back to Jesus and ask him and spend time with him and say, okay, God, you said that you'll have greater works than you did. We will do. Where are the greater works? Why is it happening? Get back to Jesus and ask him. Spend time in his presence till you know you have been filled anew and afresh. That when you go out on the street, power goes with you. That challenged me. But we need people like that to challenge us. Because we just cruise along, bubbling on the water. Nice Christian life. I'm speaking to myself. Miracles should happen. Power should happen. Wherever Jesus went and touched somebody, they were healed completely. The Holy Spirit is our guarantor. He put His Spirit in our hearts as the first payment that guarantees all that He will give us. Whilst we were yet in sin, Christ died. There was no guarantee that all people, everyone in the world would acknowledge Him as Lord and King. We know that from today, we know it's the time of Jesus as well. Not everybody who knew Jesus and saw Jesus believed in Jesus, did they? But yet, the Holy Spirit in our hearts is the first payment, a guarantee for all that He will give us. So even though we may not at times keep that promise that we have, we might err, we might sin, we might go into situations, the Spirit of God still keeps that guarantee over our lives. That even when we go faulty, the guarantee of the Holy Spirit still remains. It's like when a piece of equipment is guaranteed. When it goes wrong, what happens? The guarantee you have on that piece of equipment will allow you to take that to the manufacturer to get it sorted, correct? In the same way, the guarantee of the Holy Spirit in our lives will enable us to take ourselves back to the Creator and get ourselves sorted. Hallelujah. That's because His seal is on us. We have an access to the Father through Jesus because the Holy Spirit has put His seal on our lives. Guarantees us. Look at Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. The Holy Spirit guarantees this, that we belong to God, that we will receive all His benefits, that salvation is ours. We will receive so much more when Christ comes again. Hallelujah. See, the greatest comfort and power the Holy Spirit gives us is in the here and the now. And you know, it's like a foretaste or a down payment of the benefits of our eternal life in God's presence. The here and now is important. The Holy Spirit is our guarantor for the here and now, for the blessed time that's coming. How many are looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit enables us in our walk. The greatest comfort is that. But with this privilege of belonging to God comes the responsibility of identifying ourselves as His faithful servants. Let's not be ashamed to tell people that we belong to God. Let's not be ashamed to tell people that we serve the risen God, that we are His. I just want to close with one scripture. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. I'm going to read it in the CEV or ERV version. Can you put that up on the ERV? Easy to read version. 1 Peter 1 and verse 16 to 19 says this. In the scriptures, God says, "Be holy because I am holy." You pray to God and call Him Father, but He will judge everyone the same way by what they do. So while you are visiting here on earth, you should live with respect for God or with honor for God. You know that in the past, the way you were living was useless. In the past, the way you were living was useless. It was a way of life you learned from those who lived before you. But you were saved from that way of living. You were bought, but not with things that ruin, like gold or silver. You were bought with the precious blood of Christ's death. He was a pure and perfect sacrificial lamb. Hallelujah. Maybe today, some of us may have subjected our body, this body, to the worship of idols. We may have got in. Yes, no, yes, oh good. We may have got involved in witchcraft, in occult practices. And we may have defiled God's dwelling place. Because all these practices, Ouija boards, what is this? Remind me of some other things. Tarot cards, horoscopes, tea leaf, Tumblr talking, palm reading. It's all New Age stuff, by the way. Yeah. Somebody was telling me they have yoga for Christ or something like that. Crazy. Don't ever get caught up in that. You cannot combine Jesus with the occult. Don't get caught up in that. But you can see how the enemy is twisting the very thing that God has created our bodies for, you know, to exercise it and to keep it strong and healthy. And through the practice of yoga, they're trying to bring about a sort of an ease or sense of saying, it's okay, you know. You're just disciplining your body. It's just exercise. But you got to look at the source. Where does it come from? And because of its source, you and I who are bought by the blood of Jesus can have nothing to do with the things of the enemy, of the devil. Nothing. So any occult practices that may have defiled God's dwelling place, today we can ask God to forgive us. We can put that before the Lord and say, God, I have dabbled in Tumblr talking or anything to do with witchcraft. I have dabbled, I've gone, I've shown my, given my hand to be read by a palm reader, or maybe you've gone to a psychic in a fair or somewhere. They have, usually at the fairs, they have these places where they have the psychics, using tarot cards and telling your future. You may have innocently got involved in that. You may have, in school as well, you may have innocently with friends, you know, got involved with Tumblr talking and stuff like that. But today, you can come to Jesus and you can say, Jesus, I confess this that I have done. I confess it to you right now and ask you, Jesus, to heal me. Jesus, cleanse me from all of this. I don't want any of this in my life anymore. I put to death the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the sinful nature. I put to death today. And oh God, I ask you to forgive me and heal me. And today, you can walk away free. That none of this that has happened in the past can have any hold on you in your future. The reason I say that is because many people are struggling in their Christian walk today. And I feel, and I think sometimes it's because of the things that have been doing in the past. The spirit man is set free, but somehow the past is still holding on to them. It's because they haven't come to a place to realize that they have to get rid of all this occultic stuff, because the enemy has a foothold in their lives. And the moment you confess that before God and say, God, I get rid of it, I cut it off my life, and I bring it under the blood of Jesus, then your body becomes free. Your spirit man is free, is alive. Your body has to line up with that. Sometimes in salvation, at the time point of salvation, you know, God saves the whole body. But sometimes because of our thoughts and our emotions and stuff like that, our body takes time to catch up with the spirit man. So there's a struggle all the time between the Spirit of God in us and the spirit man that has been renewed by the blood of Jesus and the body that still wants to dabble a bit in its carnality. And so the only way to pull that back into where you are in the Spirit is to say, in the name of Jesus, I cut off all the things to do with the flesh, with the carnality of my body. I cut it off in the name of Jesus, and I bring it under the blood of Jesus right now. And today you can go back made whole. You know, know, often we have thoughts that are ungodly because we are human. Today I just want us as a church, as a people, to confess to God and say, God, I confess any thought that has been ungodly. Can we do that together? Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I confess any thought.
I confess any thought.
That has been ungodly. And I ask you, Jesus, to cleanse my thoughts.
To cleanse my mind.
In the name of Jesus.
Wash my mind
with the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for anything that is carnal in my body.
Anything of the flesh.
Anything that's hindering the Spirit of God living in me.
Today, Lord, I confess
any deed of the flesh
that has led to ungodliness.
And I cut my flesh off
from the deeds of the enemy.
I cut myself loose.
And I apply the blood of Jesus
in my body.
And I declare my body is restored,
renewed,
revived,
set free.
My mind is renewed,
revived,
set free.
No longer do I walk in darkness,
but as I walk in the light,
as Jesus is the light,
I have fellowship with one another,
and the Spirit of God,
the Spirit of Jesus,
cleanses me
from all unrighteousness.
Father, I thank you
in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.